A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 77. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a bonus episode. This is Brian from Canada, and I am podcasting solo today. Eamon from England will not be here on this episode. There are a few things to talk about on this bonus episode, a few upcoming releases, some feedback, definitely feedback, which is always great to talk about, and a couple of announcements to finish things off with as well. There are, as always, some Big Finish releases to talk about. As many of you know, I'm a fan of the Big Finish audio drama recordings of various types that they put out. They have a couple of things happening in their Doctor Who spin-offs. They, a while ago, put out a Jago and Lightfoot spin-off, which is a full-cast audio drama based on the two characters from The Talons of Wang Chiang, a 1970s Tom Baker Doctor Who serial. So Jago and Lightfoot Series 1, which was a box set for single disc plays, it was very popular, and Jago and Lightfoot Series 2 is coming up. They will be doing that, so that's kind of exciting. They also will be putting out a brand new spinoff called Graceless, and this is a spinoff based on original Big Finish characters. Some time ago, they did a run of dramas called Key to Time, the sequel to Key to Time. That's Key Digit 2 Time. The sequel to the Doctor Who 1970s Tom Baker Key to Time series. And that was done a while ago now, and it introduced a couple of new characters, Amy and Zara. And they are taking those two characters and making a spin-off with them that does not involve the Doctor. And it also does not involve the Grace, which was the power they were working for. So that's why this is now Graceless. And that, I believe, is a 3-disc box set that is coming up. And that will be coming out in the next while as well. They also have new things happening with their Stargate and Highlander releases. They've done series of those already, and they have a third series of Stargate coming up, which will be full cast. It'll be a couple trilogies, a different format. And Highlander, they're doing a 4-disc box set that will be based on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse run of episodes on Highlander the series. So that sounds pretty cool, too. They also will be doing a second series of Sherlock Holmes adventures, and I believe those will be coming up late in this year, and that has lots of potential, too. So there are a bunch of interesting, different little things coming up with Big Finish, and that's kind of neat. Barnaby Edwards is a writer, director, and actor for Big Finish. He's been doing things for them for a number of years now, and he has now started a new audio company called Textbook Stuff, and it's, I believe, considered a sister company to Big Finish, and they have some distribution deals with Big Finish as well. And Textbook Stuff is all about producing readings of classic texts in Big Finish-style audio productions. So to begin with, for this year, for 2010, they are releasing 4 poetry releases and 4 horror short story releases. British Invaders listeners will probably be more interested in the horror releases rather than the poetry ones, so I'll talk about those. A couple of them have already been released, and they sound great. They have incidental music and sound effects. Each release has only one reader, but the readers or narrators are very good. The 4 releases are Charles Dickens' The Signalman and Other Ghostly Tales, read by John Sessions, Bram Stoker, Dracula's Guest and Other Dark Tales, read by Peter Guinness, Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum and Other Macabre Tales, read by David Soule, and finally, M.R. James, Casting the Runes and Other Uncanny Tales. We, of course, talked about M.R. James and his ghost stories and adaptations of them in British Invaders 57 and 58. So this is a chance to hear some readings of those with full sound production and music and effects and the like. Each of those releases contains about 3 to 5 short stories, and it's something like 2 hours worth of material. They include some music suites and extra features. They're really good packages. They're available as download only. You can get them from iTunes, BigFinish.com, and Lulu.com. If you go to Big Finish, you can actually get a subscription to the entire Horror Readings Series 1. And I've already heard the Charles Dickens and Bram Stoker releases, and they were very good indeed. All of the information about that is available at www.textbookstuff.com, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Here is the trailer for the Bram Stoker release.
This was Walpurgist Night. Walpurgist Night, when according to the belief of millions of people, the devil was abroad. Through my eyelashes, I saw above me the 2 great flaming eyes of a gigantic wolf. Its sharp white teeth gleamed in the gaping red mouth, and I could feel its hot breath, fierce and acrid, upon me. It was an old, rambling, heavy-built house of the Jacobean style, with heavy gables and windows, unusually small, and set higher than was customary in such houses, and was surrounded with a high brick wall, massively built. Indeed, on examination, it looked more like a fortified house than an ordinary dwelling. It's been so long empty that some kind of absurd prejudice has grown up about it. As to what there was against the house itself, she could not tell. She had often asked, but no one could inform her. But there was a general feeling that there was something. There, on the great high-backed carved oak chair by the right side of the fireplace, sat an enormous rat, steadily glaring at him with baleful eyes. Have you a strong will? Have you a true heart that can be brave for one you love? Of course, old man, this is all a joke. A ghastly one, but still a joke. I see here the flowing of blood. It will flow before long. It's running in my sight. It flows through the broken circle of a severed ring. What is it, dear? Tell me the fortune, but do not frighten me. This is the hand of a murderer. The murderer of his wife.
Bram Stoker, Dracula's Guest and Other Dark Tales. Read by Peter Guinness. Visit textbookstuff.com to find out more.
Dracula.
We have some feedback from our listeners, which is great. I'm always really pleased to get feedback from people. Triffid UK, not surprisingly, sent us some comments about John Wyndham. He was noting that Day of the Triffids was not actually Wyndham's first novel. He wrote 4 novels before World War II, and they were not commercially successful. And he actually encouraged his brother Vivian to write. And we talked about Vivian encouraging him to come back to writing a little later. So there was something of a mutual encouragement between the two brothers. So thanks for pointing that out. Triffid UK also made the point that he's bothered by the phrase cozy catastrophes that some people have given to Wyndham's novels. And that is refuted on WyndhamWeb.com. And I haven't read that particular information on WyndhamWeb, but it's true. You do hear that idea about the cozy catastrophe or the cozy apocalypse where some people survive and have a nice cozy life afterwards. And I've also not been too impressed by that evaluation, and it leads a lot to be desired for John Wyndham's work and also for some other post-apocalyptic type stories, survivors and other things. So thanks for pointing out that site. Neil sent us some email about Neverwhere, and we had been talking about the different versions of the novel that Neil Gaiman had released after the TV serial had come out. And Neil is saying that the author's preferred version of Neverwhere, at least in the U.S., is an expensive limited edition book, as opposed to, Neil is also noting that there was a large, like a trade paperback edition from 2003 and the original 1998 version. And I think we can still stand by the fact that the 2003 version is the one you want to read rather than the 1998 version. But it's interesting to know there's also a limited edition version for the people who are really interested in Neverwhere and Neil Gaiman's work. So that's floating around as well. Gary sent us an email as well. And he was saying that he's a 47-year-old fan of Doctor Who and Gerry Anderson TV, especially UFO. And he liked the 1960s and 70s shows a lot, so he's happy to hear us talking about them, which is great. And he noted that he was terrified when Dr. Joynton died in Time Slip. And we were talking about that as well. Eamon remembered that from the 1970 Time Slip episode where you see the one character rapidly aging to death. And it's definitely one that comes up from various places that people found that very scary when they were kids. So thanks, Gary, for pointing that out. Gary also sent us some suggestions for shows we might cover, which is great. He was suggesting Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, Escape Into Night, The Changes, and Space 1999. And he was actually suggesting only the first series of Space 1999, because he doesn't like the second one as much. Well, we definitely have our eyes on all four of those series. Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons and Space 1999 were both Gerry Anderson shows, and I think we will get to covering those at some point. And Escape Into Night, which was a show that dealt with dreams and reality and this sort of thing, I'd like to look at that too. So hopefully we'll look at those. As for The Changes, unfortunately, it's very hard to find a copy of The Changes. I don't actually have a copy of the series to look at it and cover it for a discussion. So if anyone out there knows where you can get a copy of The Changes, let us know, because that might be an interesting one to cover. But unfortunately, it hasn't been released on DVD, and I don't think it was released on VHS either. So it's quite difficult to find it, although I believe it does exist. It's not a lost show. On these bonus episodes of British Invaders, I'm trying to run a few more promos for other podcasts. So here is a promo for Max Buffer's Media Museum, which is a wonderful, fun, little humorous show.
Hello, I'm Max Buffer.
And I'm Terry Bland.
And we're from the Max Buffer's Media Museum podcast.
We take you back to shows you may have missed,
such as the sci-fi spectacular Infestoid.
And shows we'd love to make,
including Get Your Chops Round This,
TV Phone Sex Tragedy,
and Britain's Got Orphans.
So catch us on your actual iTunes or
at www.mediamuseum.co.uk.
Terry found us while listening to another Farpoint Media show. I believe it was Slice of Sci-Fi when they ran a promo for us. And Terry has been listening to us and remembers many shows from seeing them on PBS in Houston, and still watches some of them on BBC America now to see what's out there now. And Terry wasn't aware that Survivors that's running right now is a remake and that there was an older version. So Terry was happy to hear about that from us, which is great, and we will be covering Survivors both old and new, and it's one I'm looking forward to because that original 1970s version was really very good. And PBS was definitely a great source for British science fiction in the US and in Canada on cable Certainly in the 80s and early 90s, they ran all kinds of things. And many of those shows are now available on BBC America and BBC Canada here in Canada. So it's great to hear about that. So thanks, Terry. Shen sent me a personal message on the Big Finish forums about our podcast episodes on Thunderbirds. And what Shen was pointing out was that Ray Barrett, an Australian actor who did the voice for John Tracy, passed away last year. It was September 2009. He died at age 82. And actually, I hadn't heard that. So thanks for pointing it out, Shen. It is something that comes up with a lot of the shows that we cover from the 60s and 70s, that at this point, because the shows are so old, that a lot of the original performers and creators in many cases are no longer with us, or are quite elderly now and are passing away recently, as Barrett did. So thanks for that, Chen. Joe sent us an email suggesting Raven, a 1970s kids drama with supernatural-type elements and a very young Phil Daniels, which is now on DVD, and I believe by the writers of Children of the Stone. So thanks for pointing that out, Joe. I know very little about it, but that's something for us to look into for sure, and maybe we'll cover it at some point. Tony, as always, has put some great comments up on our Facebook group, and we always appreciate people like Tony contributing to the discussions there. And please, if you haven't, take a look at the Facebook group, because we have some nice discussions and good back and forth between some of our listeners there. And it's really nice to see some of that. Tony had some good comments recently about a number of shows. In particular, he was talking about Dark Season, which we just covered quite recently. And we had talked about how the teacher in it was quite a passive character and reacts to things a lot. And Tony was commenting how there is a sequence near the end of the second of the two serials that is definitely not passive for her, where she is active and contributes to the conclusion of the story. So there are some elements a little bit more forward and active for that character, which is true. So thanks for pointing that out, Tony. That's a good point. And he also noted how Mr. Eldritch, the villain of the first serial, has quite different motivations from the generic villain, which is true. And I had referred to him as something of a generic villain. And I think there are certainly elements of that, but it's true. He does have a bit of a different set of motivations than a generic villain might. Tony also really liked the fact that you never see Eldritch's eyes. He's always wearing sunglasses, which is true. That was pretty well done. And Tony has read the novel, which I haven't and Eamon hadn't. And there were some points that were expanded in the book about Mr. Eldritch and his age and this sort of thing. And also about the strangeness of the two fifth formers hanging around with a third former, and how the two 15-year-olds and the 13-year-old, how it was a little odd and why it was happening. So apparently that was justified more in the novel than it was in the television version, which is good to hear. So thanks for pointing that out as well, Tony. That covers it for feedback. I have a couple of announcements to make. The first one, and most important, Eamon from England, my co-host, will not be able to participate in British Invaders for a little while, something like a month or two, which is due for personal reasons. He is going to continue with the podcast, but for the moment, he just isn't available. So I'm going to hold off on the regular schedule, and we had said that we would come back with Moonbase 3 for our next topic. We are going to postpone that a little bit, then when he comes back later in the summer or perhaps in the fall, we will do our Moonbase 3 discussion. In the meantime, so we do have some new content for British Invaders, we will have a special two-part discussion about Ultraviolet, and it will be a little different because it will have an all-Canadian cast. A couple of Ultraviolet fans will be joining me on that, so that will be a little different, and Ultraviolet was something that Eamon and I had not been planning to cover, at least not in the near future, so this is something that will be a bit of an extra thing to fill the downtime of our regular schedule. So that should be something to look forward to. I think that will be an interesting one as well. Also, I am now part of a second podcast. I'm part of the team for Milk Carton TV. which is about TV shows that ended too soon, both American and British, and maybe things from other countries as well. And there are a variety of things that have been covered, a couple of British things. I am not on every episode, but I'm certainly on some of the episodes. And that is a fun one as well. So check out Milk Carton TV for something a little different, and your chance to hear me on something different than British Invaders. Here is the promo for Milk Carton TV.
May I have your attention, please?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me.
Firefly, age 8 years old, missing since 2003. Have you seen this show?
Hello, nut job, party of one.
No, ma'am. I'm just the middleman.
The Middleman, age 2 years old, missing since 2008. Have you seen this show?
Where did you come from exactly?
I don't know.
Are you saying that you have amnesia but seem to know everything about everything else?
John Doe, age 8 years old, missing since 2003. If you have information on any of these missing shows or have noticed other shows that have gone missing, please contact Milk Carton TV at milkcartontv.com. Thank you for your cooperation.
I think that covers it for this bonus episode. You can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there. Next time, hopefully we will be talking about Ultraviolet with our alternate all-Canadian team. I'm not 100% sure that will work out, but hopefully we'll be delivering that to you next time. At our next regular discussion with Eamon and myself will be Moonbase 3. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.